All right, welcome to this weekend edition of Brighteon Broadcast News. This is for Saturday, July 20th, 2024. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. I've got, of course, as usual, a lot of breaking news, and especially on this weekend edition. This follows the CrowdStrike-caused IT outage worldwide, which brought down airlines and subway systems and banks and transactional systems. It was basically Y2K happened, and it's not even, it hasn't been fully recovered yet. And a lot of people think that the timing of all this is very suspicious. In fact, the CEO of Rumble tweeted this, almost as if CrowdStrike wanted to change the news cycle after one of the best weeks for the Republican Party. This rollout sounds sketchy. Well, I've got a theory about CrowdStrike and what they just did on purpose. Well, maybe not the company, but it could be, actually, it could be a rogue engineer working for the deep state that has infiltrated the CrowdStrike company, or possibly these actions could be consistent with the leadership of CrowdStrike, which was involved in the cover-up of the Democrats murdering Seth Rich when Seth Rich was trying to expose the fact that the 2016 Democrat nomination process was rigged against Bernie Sanders to put Hillary Clinton in power there, you know, to make Clinton the nominee, who, of course, lost against Trump. But they murdered Seth Rich to cover that up, and then it was the CrowdStrike company that was hired by the Democrats to falsely claim that the Russians hacked the DNC servers. Okay, so CrowdStrike has been involved in political cover-ups for a very long time. They are not to be trusted. But we'll get to that in more detail shortly. Before we get to that, well, I've got a couple of things. I have an audio forensic analysis now that has expanded. I've included now round number 8. So you may recall in yesterday's show, I covered rounds 1 through 7, which indicate 3 different shooters, at least 3. And now I've incorporated round number 8, which was fired about 10 seconds, a little over 10 seconds, after round 7. There was a very long gap. And round 8 appears to be, and is widely believed to be, the round fired by the counter-sniper team that took out Crooks. And the interesting thing about round 8 is that it does not have any report signature, and that's almost certainly because it was fired out of a suppressed rifle. So we have the snap, but not the snap boom. And thus, we can't really calculate the estimated distance by that round, which means technically it could have come from, well, it could have come from, I guess, anywhere within range of the ballistics of the cartridge there. But it was probably the round that took out Crooks. And so that means that not only did the Secret Service give Crooks something like 26 minutes to walk around and get his rangefinder out and, you know, range the field and I guess get a backpack and a ladder and crawl around. I mean, oh my God, 26 minutes of that. And then when Crooks first opened fire, if indeed he is the one who fired the first 3 rounds, which is my current assumption, although we don't have direct video evidence, I think Crooks did fire the first 3 rounds. At least that's my best guess. But even after that, the Secret Service waited 15.8 seconds to fire back and kill him. I mean, you can imagine what was going on during these 15 seconds. Probably Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle was probably on the radio like, you know, hold your fire, like give him another chance, you know, something like that. Like, you know, let him get off some more rounds. He's got to take out Trump. Hold your fire. They gave this 20-year-old Crooks and the other shooters, they gave them all 15.8 seconds to try to kill Trump with multiple rounds. They all missed. And then the counter-sniper team took out Crooks, and that ended the shooting. But think about that. Think about that. This was a deep state assassination attempt. Okay, there's no question about that. We're going to get back to that in just a second. I do want to mention, because I'm a Texan, and Representative Sheila Jackson Lee, who announced that she was being treated for, I think, pancreatic cancer, and she's, of course, a congresswoman representing a district in Houston. She has died. She was 74. And I don't wish to disparage her, although her policies and votes were absolutely horrendous, and they do not represent the people of Texas, that's for sure. But just to indicate, in case you're wondering who she was the congresswoman who, I mean, she, number one, she's been, of course, very anti-Trump and anti-America and all in favor of gun control and all kinds of things like that. But she's the one who said the moon is made mostly of gases and the sun might be, the surface of the sun is almost too hot to live on. So if you remember me saying that, that's her, okay? But I don't wish, you know, any harm upon the dead. I just say that so that you can remember who she is. I offer prayers for Sheila Jackson Lee and her family, to her family members. I'm sorry for your loss. She was the longest serving member of the United States Congress, I believe. I think she was in there for 35 years or something. It's, I mean, talk about term limits, man. Sheila Jackson Lee is like the poster child of term limits, but then again, you know, so is Mitt Romney and plenty of Republicans, right? But anyway, Sheila Jackson Lee, may you rest in peace. I didn't agree with her politics, but she has left this earth. And I will mention one more thing, which is that when she announced she had cancer and she was seeking treatment, of course, I covered that here on this podcast, and I warned that if she goes in for conventional cancer treatment, that she would not live very long. And indeed, she went to a conventional cancer treatment center, I think in Houston, and she has then died. Sorry to say that she could have been alive, I believe, today, and many, many other people who died of cancer. Actually, they don't die of cancer, they die of chemotherapy. And they don't deserve that, and if Sheila Jackson Lee would have called me and asked for help on overcoming cancer, I would have been happy to connect her with the holistic cancer treatment people that I know, and we could have kept her alive, I'm confident, longer, and she would still be serving as a member of the House of Representatives. But then again, there's not a lot of people who are, you know, in the system, and they believe in big pharma, they believe in the medical establishment, and so they end up in many ways very often sacrificing their lives to that belief system because the cancer industry will kill you. And I think that's what happened with Sheila Jackson Lee, sorry to say. By the way, I've shared this graphic on social media. I've taken my findings of the forensic audio analysis and I've put them in this spreadsheet that's kind of color-coded. Let me walk you through it here. This makes it a lot easier to understand. So the first three rows, which are in gray or very light blue, I suppose. It's supposed to be light blue, but it looks gray. Those three rounds, you can see the round number, the arrival time in seconds, the snap boom gap, the estimated distance, and the likely origin. I think the first three were crooks. And then rounds four and five are the same distance as crooks, but I think that was a kill team that was stationed in the building underneath crooks, or maybe underneath and to the side, but within the same building as crooks, so essentially the same distance. And that's in light yellow. And then a little more darker yellow, round six, we'll call that mustard color. That has a snap boom time gap of 0.366, like I mentioned yesterday, estimated distance of 600 to 700 feet. I'm calling that shooter two. That distance is not quite far enough to encompass the water tower. So I don't know if the water tower is involved in any of these rounds. It's a possibility, but it doesn't neatly line up with any of these distances. Round number seven has a snap boom time gap of 0.714 seconds, estimated distance of 1,100 to 1,500 feet. I'm calling that shooter three. And then round number eight, which is over 10 seconds after round seven, is, again, it has no snap boom time gap because there's no rifle report because it's the counter sniper team firing a suppressed rifle, almost certainly. So as far as I know, these are the 8 rounds that were fired. I've heard talk of other rounds, but I have not seen or heard audio files that indicate any more than 8. I've heard a lot of echoes, and I got an audio file today, in fact, that was just filled with echoes, and it was clearly recorded very far from the podium, so you didn't even have the incoming snaps. All you heard was a bunch of rifle booms and a bunch of echoes of rifle booms echoing off, you know, buildings and flat surfaces and what have you. And I understand that potentially some people may have been trying to count the number of booms and they may have counted some echoes, right? And that's potentially how some people get to 11 rounds. I only count 8. And I don't claim to be 100% accurate, but I'm pretty good at this. I mean, I'm a musician, an audio engineer. I wrote and produced music, you know, like my song Vaccine Zombie, which is pretty well known because it predicted everything that happened during COVID. And I put that song out in 2012. And then I wrote and released in 2008, I Want My Bailout Money, which was featured on the Wall Street Journal front page, by the way. been on the cover of the Wall Street Journal, but not about money and finance, but rather a song called I Want My Bailout Money. So I have a lot of experience as an audio engineer for decades, and I also know ballistics because I'm a fairly accomplished long-range rifle, steel target shooter. Not a hunter, by the way. I do not kill animals for sport or for food in any way. I'm not judging those who are hunters. I'm just saying that my choice is not to kill animals, but I shoot steel. And I shoot steel, I think, pretty effectively for kind of being taught from, you know, DVDs and YouTube videos and working out math and learning ballistics computers and windage and stuff like that. I'm pretty much a self-taught long-range shooter. And I'm pretty good at it. I get rounds on target, usually where I want them. So there's not a lot of people who have both of those skill sets, like really good at being an audio engineer and also pretty good at being a long-range rifle, you know, marksman. And that's why I wanted to bring this audio analysis to you, because I happen to have experience and skills in both of those areas. And I think there were only 8 rounds fired. I may be wrong, not trying to claim 100% correct on everything. And I'm always welcome to other corrections or other analysis. Maybe there's something I missed. I'm totally open to that. And this is really a group project. In fact, I want to mention something. This is the first false flag event, and false flag doesn't mean the event didn't happen, just means that the attribution of it is different from the official story, okay? So this is the first false flag event where the corporate media cannot control the narrative, and the government cannot control the narrative. This narrative is actually being developed organically and spontaneously at the grassroots level from the ground up of all the people who are doing what I'm doing. And other people are experts at satellite imagery and top-down maps, or plenty of people who've been in the military and maybe they are snipers or have been, or maybe they've done protective details for presidents or prime ministers, what have you. There's a lot of grassroots investigation going on in this. And Dr. Chris Martinson announced that he was going to form a citizens investigation group to really try to produce a citizens report on this. And there are some people that are reconstructing using 3D graphics software. They're going to try to reconstruct the timeline of events and be able to show us in real time in, 3D rendered, like a 3D rendered world, to show us what happened, every round that was fired, where it went and where it must have come from. And they're even taking into account the elevation, like the height of the bystanders on the bleachers who were shot, or that one round that went through that hydraulic line of that tractor that caused that that high lift, fork attachment to lose hydraulic pressure and to come falling down. So The grassroots people are going to reconstruct this. That's what's cool about this. And that's why I'm putting all my audio forensics out there, kind of open sourcing it, because I just want to contribute to that effort using the skills that I have and contributing to all the skills that everybody else has, some of whom are, you know, animators and video renderers and video forensic video experts and so on, in order for us to get to the bottom of this. Because you can bet right now, the official government investigation of this is going to be just like the investigation of the assassination of JFK, you know, President JFK. And that was a total cover-up because it was a deep state operation, and they immediately suppressed evidence. But there was no Twitter back then, right? That we didn't have the internet. We didn't have, you know, real-time sharing of information, audio, video streams, and images, and so on, like we have today. And with all these alternative platforms like Rumble and like Brighteon, my platform, and, you know, news leaders out there in independent media like InfoWars with Alex Jones, and, you know, Dan Bongino's out there, and so many great people. I saw, it was Robert Barnes did an interview with, I think, George Galloway that was quite good. Barnes has some really great analysis that I'll share some of that with you as well. There's so many great analysis experts that are chiming in on this, and the deep state and the government can't control this. So this is extraordinary. This is actually a turning point in history. This is a revolutionary moment, because in every other historical event, think about it, 9/11, Oklahoma City, the Waco, Texas, the attack on the David Koresh. What else? I mean, just think about all the events, the JFK assassination, right? In all the significant events throughout history, whether they be assassinations or, you know, so-called terrorist bombings like 9/11, what have you, the government controlled the narrative, and they selectively suppressed whatever evidence they didn't want you to know. And then, like with the 9/11, you know, official report, I don't know the exact title of it, but what the government produced was hogwash. It was absurd, and it violated the laws of physics. You know, like Building 7. Why did Building 7 fall down? It wasn't even hit by an airplane. How come it just fell perfectly in its own footprint? Almost as if a demolition team had been in there and setting demolition charges that were carefully timed and sequenced in order to bring down the building upon itself without damaging nearby buildings, huh? Because that's exactly what happened. They installed demolition charges inside Building 7, and they brought the building down. And it's obvious at this point. In fact, I hope one of the benefits of all of this, as the truth comes out about this attempted killing of Trump, I hope that more Americans will question 9/11 and other events. Oklahoma City, okay? Oklahoma City, that bombing of the, I think that was the Edward Murrah building in Oklahoma City, that bombing was carried out by the FBI in order to push. I mean, that was a false flag bombing, and they killed a bunch of babies. The government did that. And they had a patsy, Timothy McVeigh. And there's no way that damage to that building could have been done from a bomb in a truck in a parking lot. Not physically possible. I know this because that's been stated to me by former U.S. military explosives experts, you know, engineers and people who bring down bridges for a living, you know, that's their skill set. Yeah, they saw that. They knew immediately that was not a truck bomb. So the government's been carrying out acts of terrorism for a very long time in order to achieve its goals, political goals, or in the case of 9/11, they needed to destroy some CIA evidence of money laundering and other things. They also needed to push the Patriot Act and expand surveillance powers over the American people in order to turn this country into a police state. And also, you know, the Bush wing of the CIA, which is in panic mode right now, by the way, they wanted to have a reason to scale up wars in the Middle East. And that's why Bush had to fabricate the evidence of weapons of mass destruction. Remember that? The yellow cake uranium? They made it all up. It was completely fabricated, and they fabricated it to justify scaling up of war in the Middle East. And what do you see right now? What's the narrative right now? It's, Iran was planning to assassinate Trump. This is all Iran's fault. Nonsense. This is the deep state in the U.S. This is the CIA, the intelligence community, working with the FBI, working with Secret Service, working with Alejandro Mayorkas. This goes all the way up to Mayorkas. He's probably the kingpin of this whole thing. He's the mastermind who planned this. He gave the orders to carry this out. And I believe there's a good chance that we may have a whistleblower step forward at some point and say, yep, this was a coordinated assassination attempt run by high-level officials in the Biden administration. And they're going to point the finger at Alejandro Mayorkas, who's probably going to go to prison for treason, is my guess. And it is time for those whistleblowers to step forward, by the way. If any of you are listening, you know, step forward. It doesn't have to be with me. Go to Tucker Carlson, man. Go to Alex Jones. There's plenty of ways to go public with this, okay? When you are ready to go public, just blast it out to all the alternative media and it'll get picked up. Don't go to the New York Times because they'll make sure that you get murdered before you can speak. Don't go to the Washington Post. It's run by the same people that you're exposing. I mean, so have some sense about it. But just wrapping up this thought about how this is the first major event, like a false flag event, where the government can't control the narrative any longer and the corporate media doesn't control the narrative. This is so huge because it's combined with the fact that the Biden administration is staffed by a bunch of woke, libtard morons. And so they don't even have the competency to run a successful, clever assassination operation, which means they also don't have the competency to cover it up. And I actually predicted this. You can go back to my previous podcast. I said, probably there's going to be some false flag events happening here. And I said, this is a recent podcast. I predicted that they're probably going to get caught because they're not very smart anymore. This is the woke deep state now trying to do what, under Bush, 9/11. Well, that was, of course, a deep state false flag operation. But at that time, the Bush administration was far more clever. They were capable. They were smarter. And frankly, the Barack Obama administration was much smarter. And that's how, with Eric Holder, they ran Operation Fast and Furious. Remember that? And they ran a number of operations. There were a number of false flag shootings. Oh, and by the way, speaking of false flag shootings, how come there's not a national apology to Alex Jones right now over the fact that he was ordered to pay $1.5 billion or something like that because he questioned the official explanation of the Sandy Hook shooting? Well, now practically half the Democrats in America are questioning the Trump shooting. They're saying that it was faked. They're saying that there were no bullets, that Trump wasn't shot, that nobody died. So wait a minute, shouldn't there be an apology to Alex Jones? Shouldn't the court demand, the court decision? Shouldn't that be reversed now? Or maybe all the Democrats questioning the Trump shooting, should they have to pay $1 billion each now? I mean, if that's the rule, if you question a shooting, especially a mass shooting, which is what this was, if you question a mass shooting, then you owe $1 billion. Well, there's all kinds of Democrats questioning this now. There's even a bunch of lunatic left-wing morons who are saying that Trump faked it, like that this was a publicity stunt by Trump. Are you kidding me? What, you hire somebody? Like, hey, how about you shoot me in the ear at 150 yards while I'm talking and moving my head? How about that? That sounds like a suicide mission. It's like, really? You hire somebody to shoot you in the ear? Well, it sounds like a stupid idea that Democrats would come up with. But of course, this wasn't set up by Trump's people. This was set up by Biden's people. As I tweeted out earlier, I said, hey, Democrats, the guy you voted for just tried to kill the guy I voted for. And yet you claim that you're defending democracy. I mean, what gives? So look, the shooting of Trump was real. How do you know that? It's simple. Bystanders were shot. One of them was killed. May he rest in peace. Others were injured. There was a bullet shrapnel. Many of the police officers on the scene got hit by bullet shrapnel, by the way. And one round hit that hydraulic hose on that tractor that's clearly in full view. And there's all kinds of other evidence that rounds were flying, okay? How did those rounds not hit Trump? Well, either the hand of God, you know, the armor of God protected Trump, or this team of assassins, they were woke DEI incompetent morons who really weren't very good at what they were doing. Or maybe both of those things are true. I don't know for sure, but they missed. And I think it's three shooters, maybe three plus crooks. We don't know for sure yet, but I can tell you it's more than one shooter. It's more than crooks. That's for certain. There's at least two, probably three, possibly four total shooters if you include crooks, okay? So this is not a lone gunman, even though that's going to be the official government explanation. Nobody believes the government anymore. Nobody believes them. Everybody knows. I mean, this is what's so astonishing. Never before in the history of our lifetimes have we come to this point like today where the vast majority of informed adult Americans now believe the FBI is lying to them, that the DOJ will cover up the truth, or that the Biden administration is deceiving them. I mean, most people in America today who are informed believe that the Biden regime had a hand in this attempted assassination of Trump. And they did. They did. And what you're watching right now is a desperate cover-up. And it won't work. You know why it won't work? Here's another thing. It won't work because there's so much video evidence from the people who were there. And because people can upload videos so easily and so quickly right now, the government couldn't stop the videos from getting out. Now, after the Vegas shooting, immediately they went there and they confiscated people's phones and they took the footage so that people could not upload that footage. And when that took place, that was many years ago. I don't remember what year it was, but there weren't as many video sites that you could upload to. People didn't have as much bandwidth. People didn't have, you know, as good of phones for taking videos and so on. And you didn't have Rumble back then, and you didn't have Brighteon back then or any of that stuff. So the government could control that. They could confiscate the phones and suppress the footage. That didn't happen this time. And they won't be able to do that. Even if they try something else, they can't take people's phones because people are filming and uploading, sometimes in real time because they're streaming at these events from their phones, just actual live streaming. And at other times, they're taking videos and then, you know, they're pressing a couple buttons like push this to Rumble or push it to, you know, wherever. Or it's being saved in the cloud. If they're using like a Apple device or whatever, they take a video and it gets synced to the cloud and that file's already, you know, archived. So the government can't control the narrative, which means that as they try to explain this, their explanation is going to be full of holes. And people like myself and Dr. Chris Martinson and Michael Yon and Dan Bongino and so many others, and Ed Dowd was looking at this too, all of us are going to just rip the official reports to shreds and point out all the obvious contradictions and lies and cover-ups. And the government will never be able to put together an explanation that makes sense given the evidence we already have. How do you explain, you know, rounds 6 and 7, by the way? Where did those come from? I mean, you can't tell me that the sound signature isn't real on the recording. So that means those bullets came from farther away than crooks, much farther away. Round number 7 came from maybe triple the distance. So who's shooting that round? If it wasn't the counter-sniper team, who shot round number 7, huh? Now, I can understand why that one would have missed because it was much farther shot. But even then, you know, only maybe maximum 500 yards. That's not a difficult shot for an accomplished sniper, by the way. So it's still quite a miracle that missed. But again, the government explanation of this, if they ever even offer one, it's going to be just riddled with gaps and holes and lies and distortions and suppression of evidence, and nobody's going to buy it anymore. We are at this point in American history now where people aren't going to buy the lies any longer. People are sick and tired of their government running a bunch of terrorist operations against we the people. And that's the realization. It's not just that your government tried to kill Trump. It's that your government has been killing people for generations, that your government is a terrorist organization that has been weaponized against you, and that every branch of the federal government, the IRS, the FDA, the ATF, the DEA, the EPA, the CDC, every branch of government has been weaponized against you to hurt you, to, in the case of the FDA, to kill you with deadly jabs, right? Every agency of the government, the NIH, the NIAID, the DOD, they've all been weaponized to harm you, or from the IRS, to take your money, to penalize you, to punish you. That government bureaucrats in these agencies today, they wake up each morning and they look in the mirror and they ask themselves, like, how can they harm Americans today? How can they extract the most money from people? How can they punish people? How can they hurt people? How can they kill people? And they're talking about their own fellow Americans. And this is what the federal government has become under the control of Democrats, people like Barack Obama and Joe Biden and his handlers. The federal government has become a murderous, terrorist organization run by bloodthirsty, narcissistic, sociopathic lunatics who spend their entire time figuring out how to harm and kill the most number of Americans. That's what they do. And only now, after so many decades of this, have the American people finally awakened to this fact and decided that it's time to stop these lunatics, to not just vote them out of power, but then to criminally investigate them, to prosecute them for treason, like Ivan Raiklin's list, the deep state prosecution list or arrest list. And you can bet that Alejandro Mayorkas is at the top of that list, or very close to the top. Mayorkas is a treasonous traitor to this nation. And I pray to God that he spends the rest of his days behind bars after being convicted through a due process court of law, convicted based on the evidence of his role in the illegal invasion and occupation of America through the open borders, as well as his role in this attempted assassination coup of Donald J. Trump. I have no doubt that this goes right to Alejandro Mayorkas. So let me share with you what the real Mayorkas plan was. Mayorkas had hoped. Now, this is my belief. This is, in my mind, this is my understanding of the role of Mayorkas based on the information that I've gleaned so far. There may be gaps in this picture that will be filled in later as we learn more, but this is my understanding as of, you know, July 20th, 2024. Here it is. Mayorkas and the corrupt Secret Service head, Cheadle, they had planned to have Trump killed on July 13th, just, what, a couple of days before the Republican National Convention. Then they thought they would thrust the Republicans into chaos. There would be then a new arrangement with proper influence and some threats and blackmail and money changing hands to put Nikki Haley into the position as the Republican nominee with Vice President Mike Pompeo. Mm-hmm. And then they would say that, well, Iran assassinated Trump. And believe me, they were ready to roll out all the evidence pointing to Iran. Now, they've already created that evidence. They've fabricated it. They just haven't rolled it out now because they didn't manage to kill Trump. So they had to sit on all that evidence. But believe me, they've already created the whole backstory for this whole thing. And then they would plan to win the election with Nikki Haley, who's, you know, obviously controlled by the deep state and the rhinos. And she would answer to the globalists, and she's a pro-war candidate. And then with Mike Pompeo in there, then they would initiate World War III with Iran, you know, sometime next year. And they would say, we're doing this to, you know, avenge the killing of our dear Donald J. Trump. But really, they would be doing it to appease Israel and also to appease the military-industrial complex, the warmongers in America, by going to war with Iran, and that would ultimately escalate into a war with Russia. And this is what these lunatics want, is never-ending war. And just like they don't mind killing millions of people in war, they also don't mind killing people like Donald Trump in order to create the conditions where they can wage that war or even provoke that war, which is what they're trying to do now. Except, you know, Nikki Haley and Pompeo aren't yet in power. But with Joe Biden collapsing, it won't be long, January of next year, before the new crew is in power, and then they can just start cranking out war escalations in the Middle East. And that's what they've wanted. They just needed to get Trump out of the way, okay? So now they failed. They failed big time. And Ed Dowd said something yesterday on the Alex Jones show that made a lot of sense to me. He said, well, I think Alex was asking him, well, what's their plan B? You know, plan B, plan C. In fact, I think it was Robert Barnes with George Galloway who said that this Biden regime, they may not have a plan B. Like, they put all their eggs in the basket of this plan, the assassination plan, and they were certain that they were going to achieve the assassination. After all, they had multiple shooters. They had control of the Secret Service. They had the police stand down. They had their patsy. I mean, it was fairly close range. How could they miss? You know, and Trump's a big guy, making him a pretty big target. How could they miss? So they may not have even had a plan B. And now they're scrambling to come up with a plan B. But guess what? Some of these plans, you know, very elaborate. It would take months of planning, if not longer, to put something in place to try to carry it out. You know, something bigger like a radioactive dirty bomb false flag, let's say, or an atomic explosion false flag, or something on the scale of that. That kind of operation may no longer be possible between now and Election Day. It's possible that the deep state has run out of ammo. And there was a funny sort of statement I saw out there, like, they shot Trump, but they killed Joe Biden. You know, I mean, wild, right? What's meant by that, of course, is they killed Joe Biden's campaign chances. They shot Trump, but they killed Joe Biden's campaign. And that's exactly what happened. And the deep state may not have a plan B. It would be great if they don't, right? It would be great if we could just move forward to Election Day and not have truck bombs and dirty bombs and whatever. I don't want to see any more violence. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm tired of these deep state mass murderers running our country. But it's also possible, because they're so desperate, that they may try to fast track some kind of false flag operation, and they may cut corners. They may get really messy with this. Like, I don't know, if you're deep in the CIA, you know, what do you do? Do you have contacts on your phone? Like, who can I call to get a nuke, right? In a U.S. city, like, who do we call for that, boss? You know, and the boss is like, well, I don't know. It's like Agent X has one. You know, we gave it to him 12 years ago, and it was going to be used under the Hillary Clinton presidency, but that didn't pan out. So I think he's still got it in his basement. Let's call up Agent X and see if he's got it. I mean, they're probably scrambling at some insane level right now, trying to figure out what they can do to regain control over this narrative. And I think that they are really, they're out of options. And again, if they try to do something, they're probably going to screw it up. And they're not going to get another easy shot at Trump in terms of, you know, like a shooting assassination or a drone assassination, you know, for all the obvious reasons. Everybody's watching everything now. It's like, there's not going to be any exposed rooftops. That's done. So what are they going to try next? And the answer to that leads us to the CrowdStrike issue. So that's actually a pretty good segue. Let's talk about CrowdStrike. So the facts are that CrowdStrike, which is a software company that deploys security software or anti-intrusion software, basically sort of like operating system level firewalls for Microsoft Windows servers, okay? like high-end servers that run Windows that run a lot of things. They run, obviously, air transportation and subway systems and banks and, you know, whatever, transaction systems, e-commerce, point of sale, logistics, transportation, supply chains, all kinds of things, right? And sadly, a lot of those systems still run on Microsoft Windows, which is a really horrible operating system for anything that's mission critical, as we're finding out. Oh, by the way, Russia was fine. Russia didn't have hardly any systems failures because their airports don't run Microsoft freaking Windows, right? But across the US, man, it was like Y2K. It's like everything just cratered. Blue screen of death everywhere. So anyway, back to the facts. So CrowdStrike pushed an update, and this update altered system files under Windows are actually .sys files. System files that are invoked and run under C++ at boot time. And they have to run during the boot sequence in order to establish these hooks for high security before things like networking drivers come online, which obviously would expose the server to intrusion attacks over the internet. So these are very early in the boot sequence, very low-level drivers. Well, somebody screwed up one of these drivers. And Zach Voorhees put out an analysis on this, saying that the error in the code was a null pointer. So in the C++ code, somebody had used, somehow put a variable in there, or they invoked a variable, but they had the wrong address for it, memory address probably. And as a result, then these Windows systems would fail to boot, they would show the blue screen of death, and then they would reboot, and then it would come back up with the blue screen of death, and this would just continue over and over again while companies are just pulling their hair out and banging their faces against the drywall, you know? It's like, oh my God! It's like, can you believe the billions of dollars that were lost in the CrowdStrike disaster, which is what that was? Well, the CrowdStrike CEO then came on CNBC and all the news programs and tried to downplay it, say like, you know, it's no big deal. I mean, he didn't say it that way, but that's my impression of what he was saying. There's no big deal. We found the problem. We found the fix. We pushed out the fix. And we have some customers up and running again. Like, that could be 2 out of 500,000, right? But he said, yeah, we pushed out a fix. The problem with this fix, okay, is that in order to deploy this fix, you have to boot the Windows server into a special environment called PowerShell. It's kind of a DOS-like environment. And like, normal people, non-geek people, they don't know, they've never even heard of PowerShell. They don't even know how do you boot to PowerShell? Most people don't even know how to boot to BIOS. I mean, let's just be honest, right? They don't know, depending on the system, like you got to keep tapping F1 or F2 or F9 or FU or whatever it is. You got to keep tapping something to get BIOS to come up just to even mess with the hardware settings. And then depending on the server, whether it's like Dell or whatever, you know, it could be different sequences to be able to boot into a safe mode environment and then invoke the PowerShell system. And then you might have to actually do a manual decryption of encrypted drives in order to be able to expose the C drive. And then on the C drive, there's like some, you know, the system 32 folder. Under the system 32 folder, there's like a folder of drivers. And then in that folder, then there's certain sys files, SYS. And you got to get the right sys files and you got to either delete them or you got to rename the folder. And you do all this manually. What are the odds that people are going to screw that up? Pretty high, pretty high. And if you screw it up, that system may never be bootable again, especially if the drive was encrypted and it's gone. It's just wiped, right? But for those who are successful at doing this, they're deleting the CrowdStrike Falcon files, the sys files that offered the CrowdStrike protection. And then when they reboot the server, and finally, it comes up and boots for the first time, you know, first time in days, let's say, it's now not running the CrowdStrike system, which means that system is now wide open to penetration attacks and, you know, malicious actors out there or malicious code that may already be floating around the system can then penetrate that system, install itself, and it can hibernate. The malicious code can sit there and wait for a future trigger event. In other words, and I haven't seen anybody else offer this analysis, but you know, I have a background in software too. I used to run a software company. I had many years in high tech. And of course, right now I'm, you know, running an AI project and we're building AI systems, and you can find that at brighteon.ai. And for that, we're doing a lot of Linux-based work and also a lot of Windows work on different servers. But what really happened here, in my view, is that CrowdStrike put out, they pushed out an update that took down all these systems that require the network administrators to delete the protection and to reboot those systems into an unprotected active connection mode where they have network connectivity working, but they're lacking the Falcon protection from CrowdStrike for a period of time until there's a new update pushed and installed and rebooted. And during that time, I think malicious code got installed on maybe hundreds of thousands of these systems. And that malicious code has not yet been executed, but it's sitting there like Stuxnet. Yeah, except this is worse than Stuxnet. This is a Suxnet. Like it, how badly it's going to suck when they activate this. In other words, what I'm trying to say, sorry if I'm geeking out on this, but I think they've just set the payloads for a much larger cyber attack false flag that is yet to come before Election Day and that will be blamed on Iran or Russia or North Korea. And I think that CrowdStrike may be in on this because CrowdStrike already carried out the cover-up of the Seth Rich murder by falsifying claims that Russia had hacked the DNC servers. That was a CrowdStrike operation. So CrowdStrike is either part of the deep state or they're influenced or run by the deep state. So the two possibilities here are that CrowdStrike knows what it just did and it did it on purpose. And maybe part of that was to change the dialogue out there because everybody was talking about the Trump assassination and the Republican convention, how awesome it was, how inspiring it was. And you know, even Hulk Hogan was there ripping his shirt apart, you know, and it was very inspiring to many people. It was like this energy, this excitement, and Trump's speech was just historic. So they needed to change the conversation. Well, how do you do that? You crash all the computer systems in the world. And then during that crash, you install payloads for a bigger crash yet to come. See? So again, either CrowdStrike is in on it, which is a possibility, or they have a rogue employee that works for the deep state and they did this. Because you can't tell me that CrowdStrike, that normally they just push updates out to hundreds of thousands of Windows servers all over the world without testing them. I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, even we, for Brighteon.com, okay? And by the way, we had a couple of glitches on Brighteon yesterday too, but it had nothing to do with CrowdStrike because we don't use their tech, obviously. And we don't use AWS, we don't use Azure, any of that crap. We just had minor glitches. But even in our own system, we have a staging area. And first, when we change code, then we deploy it to our staging area, which is not public, right? And then we have a load testing system so we can simulate like 5,000 users at a time on mobile phones, and then like another 5,000 on Macintosh systems, another 5,000 on Windows systems. So it can simulate loads and it can generate all kinds of reports about the database loads and, you know, the SQL query resolution time and, you know, like Redis caching, buffering, you know, cache levels and things like that. And it generates all these reports. And then our engineers know, like, would that deployment work in the real world? And only when it passes all the tests, then they roll it out to the real live site. And even then, sometimes there are problems. In fact, what happened yesterday is one of our engineers forgot to update the path name from the testing environment to the live environment, because they are slightly different paths for accessing storage, and they they forgot to update that when they took it live. So, dude, you know, glitches can happen, but we're not running the world's airports. You know what I mean? And even we do testing. We test everything before we roll it out as best we can. Are you telling me that CrowdStrike, which has all these clients all over the world, of governments and transportation infrastructure, and you know who knows what in the DOD and everywhere, e-commerce and you know running grocery stores, the point of sale systems, logistics and supply chains, all that. Are you telling me that they don't test their updates before they push them out? No, come on, that's impossible. That's impossible. They absolutely would have tested. And if they tested, they would have found that this didn't work. So somebody pushed it out on purpose, I believe. Somebody, in other words, this was not an accident, in my opinion. And it doesn't mean the CrowdStrike company itself was malicious in this. Again, it could have been a rogue actor inside the company, but they used then the company's infrastructure and its push capabilities to remote modify the system files of all these Windows servers all over the world, hundreds of thousands of them. And that's kind of like a coordinated cyber attack, isn't it? I mean, it is a cyber attack from within a company that's supposed to prevent cyber attacks. And by the way, somebody tweeted this too, something along the lines of, I think we now prove that voting machines can be hacked, because if, you know, software updates can take down all the airlines and air transportation across America, they can also surely change votes on some of the voting machines, right? So kind of shows you how much we've come to depend on these computer systems and how centralized they are in their control. And that is pretty frightening, actually, if you think about how vulnerable society is. All right, so what's coming next then? I think a payload has been installed in these systems, and I think that payload will be activated by some remote trigger that's yet to be, you know, announced or invoked. And then we could see a grid down cyber attack extravaganza scenario across the Western countries between now and Election Day. And I don't know what that looks like, but I would not want to have a bunch of money in the bank when that happens. I would want to have money in something else, like gold and silver, especially gold and silver in your hands, you know? Hey, oh, speaking of gold and silver, let me bring up the current price while I'm doing this. Gold and silver have receded somewhat from the price that they were yesterday, or even 2 days ago, and silver has dropped below $30 spot. Gold is still right around $2,400. So gold hasn't dropped very much, but silver has dropped. And of course, there's a lot of market manipulation by certain players like JP Morgan and so on, and the government teams to try to artificially suppress the silver price. But when I saw it dropping below 30, I placed another silver order myself. Because I'd actually told myself a couple weeks ago, I said, you know, if silver ever drops below 30 again, man, I'm going to pick some up, because that's the deal or steal of the century, to get silver below $30 spot. So I went ahead and did that. And I just do want to mention our sponsor, which is the Treasure Island Precious Metals Company at metalswithmike.com, where you can buy silver directly from them. And by the way, I don't earn a percentage on that at all. They are a flat fee sponsor of my podcast from time to time, but I don't earn a percentage because their prices are really, really low and competitive, and they have outstanding service and, you know, guaranteed insured delivery, discreet delivery, and so on. And they also have vaulting services and silver IRAs that are compliant with IRS rules. So if you want to get silver or gold, although silver is by far the better value proportionally right now, just go to metalswithmike.com, fill out the form there, or contact them at the Treasure Island Company this weekend, and they will reach you back Monday as soon as they can. And if you think silver is a great deal right now, wait till you see what happens when this next big cyber attack comes, if it does. And if it takes down the banks, even temporarily, if there are a lot of bank disruptions, as there were yesterday, then if that starts to last more than a day or two, and banks start to fold and people start to not be able to get their deposits and so on, silver is going to skyrocket, and gold will too, because there's going to be a mad rush into real money instead of digital money that you can't access because the cyber, you know, apocalypse has arrived, or whatever that looks like. In any case, metalswithmike.com if you want to get some silver. I'm getting some more right now too. So the overall analysis that I have to share with you here today, to kind of summarize this, it's pretty simple. The failed assassination of Donald Trump has left the deep state with very few options, and they're running out of time before Election Day. And they know that they're going to be, well, many of them will be prosecuted and they'll go to prison if Trump becomes president. And that's exactly what should happen to those traitors, by the way. But since they don't probably have a lot of good, practical, well-executable plans, it means they're going to go for bigger and bigger disruptions or weapons. And this potential cyber attack that may have been already implanted on all these control systems now, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about, where it's like the deep state could become so desperate, they just say, you know, we don't care if we destroy the whole country. We don't care if we just bring down the whole banking system. It's like, it's better than having Trump elected. It's like, just crash the whole damn thing. Like, cancel the elections, destroy the country, destroy the currency, bring down the banks, bring down the power grid. You know what I mean? It's that level of thinking by these lunatics who just, they cannot give up power. And along those lines, by the way, Joe Biden now says he's not going anywhere. He's going to be the nominee, he says. Or maybe Jill dug in her heels and said that Joe's not going anywhere. I'm not sure that Joe has any idea what's happening. He's like a human steel ball in a pinball machine. Ka-ching, 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 Jill, poof, with flippers and whatever, bouncing around. Giant pinball machine. Oh my God, it's Obama, it's Jill, it's Hunter. And then he's like, what do I say? We use the battle box. The battle box. What? Battle axe? Battle bugs. Bed bugs. You know, whatever. He doesn't know what he's doing. But he's not going anywhere. So the media reports that the Democrats were pushing over the past couple of days to say that Joe was going to step down this weekend, which I reported that too, based on those reports. Joe says, no, I'm not. He's not going anywhere. So he's calling BS on that. They said the speech was already written. Well, maybe it was written, but Joe's not going to read it, you know? So Joe says he's going to be the nominee. So this is going to get interesting. Now, he's mad at the donors that are withholding money, obviously. He's really mad. But Joe Biden's an old school, you know, threatening guy. He's got dirt on everybody, and he'll kick you in the nuts and bite your nose off and gouge you in the eyes politically, just because he's a mean person and he doesn't mind hurting people. I mean, he's been hurting America for 4 years. He doesn't mind hurting people. He loves that kind of thing. And he can credibly threaten the people around him, you know? And that's why some people are scared to say anything against Joe or to call for him to resign. But there's still a lot of powerful people doing it, like Senator Schumer now says old Joe's got to go. So this is going to get interesting because, of course, they're going to start rolling out the Joe dirt. You know what the Joe dirt is? It's ugly. There's some ugly Joe dirt about things in his past and his family and his, you know, former wife and what have you. Just unimaginably ugly stuff. They're probably getting ready to wield that information as a weapon, you know, drop a big bombshell story at the door of the Washington Post, like, here's a story, you cover this, you know, because the Washington Post works for the deep state, right? Is controlled by it. And then they'll roll out some story on Joe Biden, you know, front page. I mean, they would only do this if they're desperate, but they're getting desperate. But you can only imagine, you know, headlines, Joe Biden accused of blah, blah, blah. And the whole nation is like, oh my God, is that even possible? How did someone do that? and then that would send the message, and maybe Joe Biden would step down at that point. I don't know. Maybe never. But it's going to get interesting as they roll this out. The longer this goes on with Joe Biden in office and refusing to step down, the less time is available for Democrats to support a replacement and to coordinate their fundraising and, you know, media campaigns and everything else, even just to print signs. You know, they got to know whose name are we printing? What is it, Big Mike? You know, is it Newsom? It's like, can you just hold the, just tell the printers to hold. We got to see if we can get rid of Joe first. But, you know, on the Trump side, it's like Trump Vance. I mean, everybody's printing the hats and the shirts and the stickers and the billboards and everything. All the Democrats are fumbling around with each other, trying to figure out even who's this going to be. So this is all kinds of fun to witness at the moment. That's why I hope Joe stays in the race. Because I want to see this DNC deep state war against Joe Biden. This is fascinating to me. And it's incredibly entertaining at the same time. By the way, I was doing some socket fusion welding. I mean, just to change the subject. I don't know why I decided to share this with you. But have you ever done socket fusion welding of HDPE pipes? You ever done that? I just learned how to do that for the first time. And it's basically you're taking like a piece of pipe, like a HDPE means high density polyethylene. So you're taking an HDPE pipe and an HDPE socket, like a coupler, and you're using a special little machine that heats up to 500 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you basically melt these two pieces where they would connect with each other. They almost become like liquid goo, and then you shove them together and you hold it for a couple of minutes while they bond, and then they cool down, and then you have a permanent connection. Well, one of the reasons I force myself to do these things is because I want to have as many skills as possible when everything goes to hell. And I want to be able to repair pipes. And, you know, these could be like gas pipes, typical in a household, or they could be, you know, water pipes or whatever. If you know how to do this, you know, it's a skill set, right? It's a skill set. Well, I'm measuring the pipe diameter with a set of calipers before I try to melt them. And I'm like, this thing's a little bit too big. There's no way it's going to go into this coupler socket here. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm doing the measurement. It's a couple millimeters too big. And I started thinking, well, maybe if they're hot enough and kind of gooey enough, then you could just shove them together. Maybe that'll work. I don't know. So I followed the instructions and I heated them up and they turned a little bit gooey, and I'm like, okay, here goes. And then I shove them together and they just kind of, it's like pushing putty together, and you got to use a lot of force. And I shoved them together, and sure enough, held it for a couple minutes, and then they bonded. And then I pressure tested it. It's like, it all works. So there you go, folks. Fusion or socket fusion welding, I think it's what it's called. HDPE. The problem is the heater, like the kit that does this, is like $1,200. So it's not an inexpensive thing. Usually just like professionals do this if they're installing, you know, gas pipes, or also, you know what this is used for is heat pumps. A lot of the heat pump guys have these things for all the heat pump, I guess the coolant that's being circulated in heat pumps. So if you're wondering what they're doing out there, heating up pipes and sockets and holding them together and having like gooey unions, well, there you go. Yeah, that's probably the right term. That's what I did today. I had gooey unions. Okay. That's pretty much what I did. That was my ranch job. All right. Oh, here I'm seeing the quote that I was trying to paraphrase earlier. It's from Kevin Sorbo, the actor. If they can hack airlines, they can hack voting machines. Yeah, of course they can. That's kind of obvious. All right, that's the broadcast for today. And I'll remind you that Operation Burning Edge, the docuseries, begins today at Brighteon University. That's brightu.com. And again, it starts today. This is with Anne Vandersteel and Michael Yon and Oscar El Blu and many other experts, warning about the open border situation and also talking about solutions. And it's probably the best docuseries that you've seen on this. Again, it's called Operation Burning Edge. Begins streaming today at Brighteon University, which is brightu.com. Register there with your email to watch it for free. You have the option of also purchasing the entire docuseries. It's not even very expensive. And if you purchase it, you can download the whole thing and you can share it with family and friends and you can have the files locally and watch it at your own pace. Or maybe you just choose to support the Brighteon TV team that put this together because they're working on other docuseries. The next one's actually about the financial collapse that's coming. So if you purchase Operation Burning Edge, that's going to help fund the platform a little bit and fund the next documentary that's coming along to which will teach you how to protect your assets from the imminent banking collapse. So check that out today. And once you register, you'll be able to watch the live stream and it repeats. It's just one episode that repeats for 24 hours. So don't worry if you connect in the middle of the hour, it will loop itself for the whole day. And then the next day, tomorrow, there's a new episode that loops for the whole day and so on. That's how it works. In the meantime, get ready for some bigger cyber attack event to take place. Get ready for more banking failures. Get ready for potential even grid failures, transportation failures, supply chain failures. Those kinds of things are absolutely going to happen. So make sure that you are prepared. I'm doing the best that I can to get prepared, you know, like learning socket fusion, welding, or GUI unions. But get your skills up, folks. Whether it's learning how to raise backyard chickens or learning how to sprout seeds or, you know, whatever your skills are, just or even how to defend yourself with a handgun, you know, that's a very handy skill to have right now. But get your skills up, and I'll be back with you probably tomorrow with another update, depending on how crazy things are. Or if not tomorrow, then Monday for sure. In either case, have a great Saturday. Have a great weekend. Thank you for all your support. You can support us at healthrangerstore.com, or you can check out all the discount deals that I've put together for you with a discount code. Usually the code is Ranger, and you can find that at rangerdeals.com. And mostly preparedness supplies and discounts on things like de-Googled phones and satellite phones or chlorine dioxide or ivermectin for pets and things like that. A lot of great discount deals there. Check it out, rangerdeals.com. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Here's what we've got back in stock right now at healthrangerstore.com. Check it out. We've got the toothpaste, the Groovy Bee brand toothpaste there that everybody loves, and we don't know if we're ever going to get any more because this is the toothpaste that the FDA Office of Importation tried to destroy, or tried to get us to destroy it for no reason. And then, of course, we had our lawyers talk to them, and then they released it and said, oh, oops, we made a mistake. So now we have Groovy Bee toothpaste here that is back in stock at the store. Trail mix that people absolutely love. Remember, everything is laboratory tested. Almost all the ingredients we have are certified organic. And we do extensive lab testing for heavy metals and glyphosate, and for many of our products, also testing for aflatoxins. For everything, we test for microbiology, E. coli, salmonella, yeast, and mold, and so on. Check out our macaroni and cheese instant meals there. You just boil water, you put in the macaroni, which is made out of quinoa, amaranth, and organic rice, all organic ingredients. It's got a really great texture. And then the cheese powder sauce is with real organic powdered cream, real organic cheddar cheese powder, real organic butter powder, onion powder, and so on. It's the best macaroni and cheese you've ever had. Certainly the healthiest and cleanest. In addition, we've got quercetin supplements and our Seven Treasures mushroom blend, which is, of course, a combination of different functional mushrooms, including lion's mane mushroom, which is one of my favorite mushrooms because that's what I use, you know, after I severely lacerated my finger. But lion's mane, check out the website, by the way. Here's what lion's mane actually looks like growing in the wild. Pretty cool, right? We've got a lot of items here available now in stock, ready to ship out at healthrangerstore.com. And remember that all of your purchases help support this free speech platform to support our interviews, our investigations, and our broadcasts that bring you news and analysis every single day that you just won't find on places like YouTube, which are heavily censored. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams of healthrangerstore.com. Take care.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.